Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Weber has been an archaeologist. Oh, we know all this, don't we?
Yeah, we know. We're
we know all this. But let me just tell them. Joe Weber's, this is the fast version. Okay. Joe Weber's been an archaeologist for over 20 years. Her husband, Evan Malone. They own Cafe Inez at 2025 Washington Avenue, Philadelphia. I slow down for this part. A Mexican biob restaurant. They own 1516 South Street, the entire block. They own Rex 1516 at 1516 South Street, Philadelphia, which specializes in cuisine grown entirely in the south of the equator. And they own Jet Wine Bar, which is the place what we come to from every week at 1525 South Street, where we can be found sitting in the corner of these luxurious studios which Jill had built for us. It's now known, ladies and gentlemen, when you come into this place, it's now known as the Time Out Bar downstairs. Jeez. Right, Jill?
No, it gets a new name every week, and it's always something to do with you.
Well, everything in this world has got to do with me. But, Jill, before I say hello, Jill, let me say hello, Jill.
Hi.
Are you here all day today?
Yes.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure if you were going to get up and leave or
no,
something.
I'm all right.
Okay.
Unless you insult me.
I never insult you. And we have a guest. That means
that's the important thing.
That means that you're going to do all the talking with
me. Yeah, right. So you have to share the microphone.
Well, hopefully you did your research last night,
yes,
so you know all about him. Today, ladies and gentlemen, our guest is One Wine Dude. That's his nom de plume, whatever that means. His real name is Joe Roberts, creator of the website One Wine Dude and wine columnist. Do you know where he's a wine columnist?
Playboy, yeah.
Playboy, my favourite magazine. Charlize was on that once, I think.
She was?
I think so. Well, I don't know. He's a certified specialist of wine and a WSET certified wine man. And like Jill and me, Joe is one of the most influential people in the wine world. Joe is around 15th place, which is a shame. It's pretty, that's pretty low. But he'll catch up with us, Jill.
Oh, yes.
When Joe inhabited the real world, he was an information techie or an IT person and got into the wine blogging business just 7 years ago. Now he travels the globe eating, drinking and reporting back to his legions of followers in cyberspace. And don't ask Joe to tell you his favorite wine, because to him it's as personal as asking his favorite sexual position when making love to his wife. And he said that, I didn't. It's absolutely true. It's in print. Joe, welcome to Jill and Phil's brilliant wine sketch.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me. That's I can't live up to that introduction.
What is your favorite wine?
Reverse cowboy.
See, he's perfect for this. And as I posted on everywhere this past week, this show now doesn't have any bleeps unless I feel they're essential.
Good you told me that.
Okay.
It's very good you told me that.
Okay, so I can't be bothered with the bloody beeps. Jill's got two hidden. Jill,
I know you like, well, I know you obviously like
No, they've both got corks in them. They're new wines,
unopened bottles.
Okay, what we got?
It's like torture.
Yeah, okay, so we have a
MFW, Joe. Nah. Oh, I'm not supposed to tell him that. Does that mean what I think it means?
I have no idea.
MFW.
The first word is mother.
No.
No.
Are you kidding me? No. Okay. So what do we have? We have obviously a white and a red. And one thing that I did today is I feel like we have almost a fuller bodied white and a lighter bodied red.
Interesting.
So that's just a fun thing. Let's just open this up.
Let me ask Joe something.
Okay.
Joe, what pisses you off the most about the wine world? Because for 25 years, I've been banging on about don't spend more than $10. Wine snobs should all be shot at dawn. No need to swirl and sniff and spit. What is your philosophy?
Well, I would say, can I have two?
Yeah.
Like, so there's one on the consumer side that we, like, sins that we have. And then there's who buy wine, and then there's some on the wine business side. I'm going to start on the business side, which is I don't think most wine producers actually care about their customers or their consumers. And I don't mean they don't care about them as people. I mean they don't interact with them enough. I mean, if you have a tasting room, yeah, you're interacting one-on-one, that's great. But then you'll have people who do that but don't do it online, or just rely on folks like me to tell their stories, rely on the press, rely on intermediaries. So we have this weird construct in the wine world where you've got distributors and retailers and all these intermediaries, right, importers, and people let those folks do all the storytelling. And today's day and age, I mean, we're here in a wine bar and we're doing a show that people listen to. I mean, you can spread these words and this news so easily now. To me, that drives me nuts that they don't do that. I mean, they're like 8 years behind the times on that. Catching up, but it's really slow going. On the consumer side, you know, nobody freaks out in the mustard aisle at the supermarket, right? Like, so nobody looks at the mustard and goes, oh my God, I can't, I don't, stone ground, I don't know if I like stone ground, and they freak out. I mean, now granted, mustard's a lot less expensive, right? But to your point, you can get wines that aren't that expensive and still incredibly enjoyable. So I think, you know, just it boggles my mind that people won't approach it just from the standpoint of, I'm just gonna start buying and learning and have a budget. And that's cool. I'll make some mistakes with that budget. I mean, don't get paralyzed by fear. There's no right. The only right answer is what you enjoy. And I get a lot of people who tell me, oh, Joe, I have this wine. Wait, actually, I forgot. You're that snobby guy. I can't tell you what the wine is that I like. So why? Because it's like $11 a bottle. I say, but then you win. Like, you won the game, right? Like, you found the one that matches your taste. So now, is that $11 bottle inherently better than like Romani Conti or something, a few thousand bucks bottle? Probably not. But that doesn't mean that you would like the Romani Conti or you would like the hundreds of dollars for bottle wine. I mean, that's, there's nothing to say that because you like the $11 bottle, it means that your tastes aren't good enough, quote unquote. Exactly. No one's measuring that but you. So chill out, buy what you like.
That's so right, and that's exactly the premise of this wine bar, because you, Jill, are an eclectic wine lover, and I mean, if you had your druthers, and I've used that twice in today's show, not with you though, if you had your druthers, three times now, if you could have Romani Contis and First Growth Chateaus and have people coming in lusting after those wines, or do what you're doing, putting you on the spot, you would continue to do what you're doing, right?
Absolutely. I mean, in all honesty, I'm not a fan. Yeah, those wines are good, right? And they are, even objectively speaking, they're great wines. But they're not my, I don't enjoy them as much. I mean, I really like stuff that I have to think about a little bit, or that I just can say, hey, this is from blah, 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 you know, some weird place. Or this is, hey, you heard of this grape? Wow, no, me neither. You know, that's fun for me.
Well, this place is an education. So here we have a wine that Jill has plucked out of the ether.
Yes. And I promised you wouldn't have to guess, but I feel like the nose is so characteristic.
It's Germanic.
It is, yes. It's very old school European.
Yeah. And she's not, there's a thing with Joe that I should tell you, Joe, is that before these features on the show, she never bothers to tell me what the wine is. And then when we come in, sometimes we go the whole show and she doesn't tell the listeners what we're tasting. Right, Jill? Mm-hmm. Well, she doesn't. Don't ask her the prices either. So this is, should I tell him what this is?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we know what this is. Have you already told him? It's a
no.
Grunewaldliner?
I haven't said it's a Grunewaldliner.
Oh, okay.
But I think you all guessed it.
It's a Grunewaldliner.
It's interesting because this is one of the richest Gruner, which is, I think, right, makes it, what's fun about the concept here and like wines like this is, if you're like me, you can geek out on the fact that this is, it's got all kinds of the like herbs and flowers and all the Gruner stuff going on top.
Yeah.
And then you get a head fake because it gets in your mouth and it's like rich almost. And what's cool about those is just delicious. So you can geek out over all this stuff and the you know, that cool sort of twist on typicity of Gruner that we're about to talk about probably as geeks, but you can just drink it and be really happy because it tastes great, which is a great that's an awesome combo for a wine bar.
And I was going to say, Jill, that this is a substitute Sauvignon Blanc. Because
it is.
Got that the grapefruit.
It does. This, in terms of the citrus on this, it's a little less sort of lemon/lime, more grapefruit, all the white pepper you want, right, in here, and it's a little aromatic. But I'd like to tell, and very good shale soils, slopey, well-drained soils. But this is from Pennsylvania.
This is
the Galen Glen Stone Cellar Gruner Veltliner.
What a shame about the label that they couldn't spend. What a shame they couldn't spend some money and put a label on this wine that reflects the quality of the juice. Because this is a bloody nice wine, isn't it?
It really is. I actually had the pleasure of touring around Pennsylvania, meeting with a bunch of the winemakers a couple years ago. It was organized by the enologists out of Harrisburg. It was a lot of fun. Galen was one of the ones I really liked.
I
didn't have this wine, but
I double checked actually this morning because I have read One Wine Dude blog site for a while, so I went and I double checked that you hadn't actually reviewed this wine or even the Gruner.
You geek! You've never done that for anyone before.
I have too.
Have you?
Yeah.
You never tell me.
It's called research. It's called research.
But, and I was actually and I, so we had chosen this. We had chosen to have this wine, and we used it in a tasting the other day. And then this past weekend, it was Memorial Weekend, whatever, last week. And I decided to go visit Galen Glen, and Sarah, the winemaker, was there. And we had a very nice chat about this wine.
And you know how they got the name?
Galen is...
Well, not Galen, but the stone cellar, because that's where they used to hide all their dope when they started the winery.
I thought you were going to like dead bodies or something.
No, no, no,
skeletons.
No.
It's not that area of Pennsylvania.
So, Joe, people like me who are fanatical about German wines have spent a whole life telling people that German wine isn't sweet and it's not only from the Riesling. And the Gruner Veltliner is one of the grapes, and people still don't know that. So it's brilliant that a domestic winery is actually doing something with a grape variety that people aren't familiar with, but once they become familiar with it, they might actually venture abroad and taste some of the wonderful grape varieties that are made in places like Germany.
For sure, and you know, Austria has done an amazing job with Gruner in terms of promoting it.
And I always forget about the Austrians and the Belgians. I don't even remember that they exist.
Sorry. I mean, so they got a whole cadre of people, you know, consumers in the States, and, you know, being able to pronounce Gruner, Veltliner, and actually look for it, know it comes, you know, from that area. So that, I mean, that's impressive. If you can do that, I think you can pretty much get just about any grape in any region on the map. I mean, some of them harder than others, but, you know, if you can pronounce that and get used to, we can get people used to that. I think we can get them used to, you know, Greek variety names and Turkish wines.
Have you met one of my favorite singers, or was this going to be over the phone, Fergie?
Yeah, I did. I talked to Fergie on the phone.
I was on the phone. It wasn't a touchy feely thing.
No, it wasn't.
Because I'd love to touchy feely Fergie.
Yeah, she's Fergalicious. I mean, she was awesome. She was so cool. We ended up joking around. We both got engaged in a vineyard and all that. You know, I mean, it was very, very down-to-earth conversation. One of the coolest celebrity interviews I've ever done.
And that's Ferguson Vineyards, which is her dad. And I have to get an interview with her, but I don't do phoners. It has to be in person. And she has to sit on my knee when I'm interviewing her. Sorry, but and she's quite short, so that's okay.
So
she'll fit.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Is that okay, Jill?
No. I think for me, I feel like everyone on a seat is good.
Okay. Yeah, but the seat is my leg. Is that right?
No.
You've gone after a wine here.
Yes.
Which you know I'm going to love. What did you like most about this? The flavor, the fact that it was an obscure grape from Pennsylvania?
I do like having Pennsylvania wines on the menu, period. This is great. You know, it's a very good wine. And it's Gruner Veltliner, so it's everything. It's Pennsylvania. It's an odd grape for Pennsylvania, and it tastes really good. So...
How much is it a glass here at Jet?
It's actually going on the menu next week, and it will be $8.50.
And if people come in here and they see there's a half-open bottle, they'll know that it hasn't done very well, because it's still the one
from
us.
Right, it's old, yeah.
Joe, overall summation about this wine. For you, is this a wine that you would pop open and slurp in the summer?
Yeah, for sure. And you know what? I liked your kind of comparison with almost an alternative for Sauvignon Blanc, because the way it presents itself, and it's a bit richer body for a Gruner. It would definitely surprise a lot of people. Yeah. And that's, I think, what I really liked most about it.
Jill, tell us about the next wine.
Okay. This is one of my favorite grapes, and this is also one of my favorite wine regions. This is southwestern France, and this is Frontone. It's 100% Negret. I had thought it did not say Negret. I thought it just said Frontone, which is one of your pet peeves. You have to know that Negret is really the main grape of Frontone if it says that. Yeah. It does not. Frontone, of course, is a little appellation north of Toulouse, and it's a kind of a light, kind of an aromatic, a little less acidic, a little less tannic grape. I think it makes a wonderful, I don't want to say rustic, but it's not a refined flavor, and I love it.
Can you do me a favor?
It's got fuzzy edges.
Could you pour the stuff?
No. We're just going to talk. You have to like imagine what it's going to taste like.
And no regrets and nothing to lose. So we've got all of the puns out of the way.
I will say this is clearly a little tight. We did just open the bottle, which is one of the bad things about having a just opened bottle. But, you know, you still get the flavors.
Well, it makes a change because last time on this show, you were clearly a little tight. You were. You really were. I don't know what you were on that day, what you were drinking, but
I don't know what you were on thinking about that.
What?
At our 12 o'clock recordings. Yeah. Give me a bad reputation.
Don't tell people what time we record. We record whatever time they're listening to it now.
That's right.
So let's have a okay. Bit of a taste here. I have to thank you. Brought in two wines today that you know really float my boat.
Yeah.
Now, Joe, question for you. And you can answer this honestly. I would chuck this in the fridge for about 8 to 10 minutes.
I would too, because the fruit on the nose is... No, I would. I mean, it's the fruit on the nose is very bright. Yeah. And it, to your point, and you say rustic maybe is the wrong word, but it's got a brambly kind of wildberry character. And initially, it was a little tight, like almost even a little funk. But that started moving into more like cloves. So I think if you have a little bit of a chill, you don't want to go over on that. Obviously, you want to bring out, let it then warm up the glass in your hand or something. No, but with a tiny bit of chill, I think it would lift a lot of that, those brighter like kind of wild berries up a little bit more, make it pop. Absolutely.
And Jill.
Phil always wants to chill the reds, and I never want to.
But what about this one, Jill?
I wouldn't. But I see what you're saying.
I would have this with a turkey burger on your menu, and I would chill it. Not the turkey burger. I'd have that room temperature.
Well, the thing is, one of the things I really love about Southwest France and about Negrette in particular is those kind of deep, dark, all the bramble, all the iron, all the, you know, I'm now getting, you said clovey and a little bit, it almost goes cocoa, chocolate, tobacco. You know, I love that. And so the fact that the fruits are not coming up right is fine with me.
Basically, you got yourself a brilliant red summer slurper.
This is actually imported by Jason Malumin at Chalkboard Wines.
He's not going to listen to this, is he? Because you just bugged up his name.
Yeah, I did. But he will. I will give it to him, of course.
Joe, you taste a lot of wines like we all do. But...
Five cavities filled last year.
Five cavities? From why?
I got to get a gum graft, too.
Ouch. Oh, my God.
I know, man. That's terrible.
But how much... How much
wine? Interspersed with beer, then.
But how much wine do you actually... drink to enjoy, not to sit and analyze.
This week, way too friggin' much this week. But nah, it's a big problem for me because I have something now like 2,200 bottles of samples sitting in my basement, like you know, stacked up in boxes. And I can't, I think when I had my intern last year, she calculated something like, look at the rate that you taste is going to take you like 4.5 years to taste through everything. So I need to pick up that pace a little bit. So I've been trying to open a few more than just like one or two, you know, actually, and taste through, and then kind of select a couple, you know, that we might want to enjoy with dinner or whatever.
But yeah, how many bottles you got in your basement?
Probably about a bit over 2,000.
Joe, why don't you find an empty space on South Street, open a wine bar, and you don't have to pay for wine for the next year? Sell the damn stuff.
Yeah, I believe that's illegal.
Yeah, right.
But I'm no lawyer. That?
It's only illegal if people find out.
No, they just need to have dinner.
It's only punishable if people find out. See, this is a common misconception.
Dinner parties, you come be our guest, bring us like...
But we're in a state of Pennsylvania. There are no liquor laws here. You can do what the hell you want.
But I get, you know, but to answer the question, I guess I should say that I probably averages like two glasses, you know, I try to keep of consumption
in a day.
Yeah, I want to keep
it. I think I'd say an hour.
No. Some days, yes, but I try to do 2 or 3 days a week where I don't even touch it.
Okay, Jill, how much is this?
$9.50.
Okay, tell them what we've just had.
Chateau La Colombière, Negrette. Vinum. The name of the wine is Vinum. The other one is Galen Glen, Stone Cellar Gruner Veltliner, 2013 PA.
Well, today's special guest was Joe Roberts. His website is
onewinedude.com.
and that is the numeral one, the number one. Let me just remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that you can taste the wines that we just tasted right here in this very place. It's Jet Wine Bar, 1525 South Street. If you've got any wine questions, contact Jill through her website, which is jetwinebar.com. And if you want to phone up, it's 215-735-1116. Joe Roberts, pleasure to have you here today. And we will see you back soon.
Would love it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
And Jill?
Yes.
I'll let you do more talking next week.
All right. Cheers. Ciao.